want to pray this simple prayer. God, may your words go forth in power and demonstration. May they not just lodge in our intellect, God, but may they lodge deep in our spirit and become flesh in us. May something that is said through you, Holy Spirit, today bring about a change in our thinking. For changed thinking will result in changed behavior. Changed thinking will result in changed behavior. God, we honor your presence, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Do as you desire. Simply be God in our midst today. Simply be God in our midst today. Well. I want to be just sensitive in this moment. We have been talking in the last couple of weeks. Apostle John has been talking about kingdom living, how to live the life that Christ died for. How do we walk out purpose and destiny? How do we manifest the kingdom of God in our sphere of influence? And I am convinced, as I look at the scripture, as I look particularly at the life of Christ, and as I look throughout history, the lives of people who walked out purpose and destiny, who saw the manifestation of the kingdom, who were able to have kingdom influence and kingdom impact and were able to see kingdom results. And as I look at those lives, I am convinced that to the degree that we know who we are, to the degree that we understand who we were created to be in the earth, to the degree that we are able to stand rooted in our God-defined identity, that is the degree to which we will walk out purpose and destiny and see God's kingdom manifested as he desires. Turn to somebody and say, you got to know who you are. And in some cases, and this is the message for today, you're going to need to remember who you are. Identity, purpose, and destiny are inextricably connected. If I don't know who I am, I will not be able to fully manifest his kingdom in my sphere of influence. I will only be able to do bits and pieces and see part of destiny fulfilled in my life. Turn to somebody and say, you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. You must know who you were created to be in the earth. We spend a lot of time asking God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Jesus, Lord, tell me what I'm supposed to do. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. We spend so much time asking God what we're supposed to do. And Tracy, I know I'm off script already. Just kind of flow with me. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And in certain circumstances, when we have to take an action, that's the question to ask. But when it relates to purpose and destiny, I think perhaps the question that we should be asking is not so much, God, what am I supposed to do? But who did you create me to be in the earth? Because you understand, your do is not your who. Your do is not your who. And if you don't know who you are, you'll be doing and exhausting yourself, and you'll let everybody else tell you who you are and never come into a full awareness of who you were created to be, because out of your being flows your doing. It's that Richard Rohr quote up there. Tracy, do you have it? Yeah. When you get your who am I question right, all your what should I do questions tend to take care of themselves. When you get your who am I question right, all your what should I do questions tend to take care of themselves. I'm going to tell you a little story. My assignment today, this is what the Lord wanted me to do, is to remind you of who you are. I know we can all quote scripture. We quote it all the time. I'm the hidden, I'm above and not beneath. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. We can quote it. Do you really know who you are? Do you really know who you are? Fearfully and wonderfully made and designed so uniquely by God to fill a place and manifest his glory, his light, his love, his life, reflect his reflection, his image in wherever he has positioned you. You got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. Picture this. I sound like Sophia from the Golden Girls. Imagine this. Dallas, Texas, 2005. Some of us had traveled with Apostle John to the International Worship Institute. Pastor Nina was there. Pastor Arnaz was there. Pastor Arnold, Malika, Rhonda's daughter, was with us. I don't know who else went. And before the conference, Apostle John had released the Hear My Heart project, which I had the privilege of singing on. And the Institute had put together a CD of the 10 best worship songs for 2005. Show Me Where You Are Today was included on that CD. And we were going to sing the song the last night at the Institute. And I was big. Let me explain. People from all over the world, thus International Worship Institute, gathered there. Singers, worship leaders, authors, pastors, you name it. The who's who in worship, in the worship world, descended on Dallas every July until they kind of switched up the format for this Worship Institute. Apostle John was a part of the staff. And as we gathered to rehearse for that night with this choir that is at least 50, probably more than that in the choir, of incredible singers, I got to just really freaking out. Like, I'm out of my element. And I'm really out of my element. I can't do this. I don't know. And then the enemy, and this is what the enemy will start whispering to you. When God positions you and opens doors for you, and the enemy will say, well, who do you think you are? You don't belong here. Anybody up there can sing circles around you. And he's just whispering this through all through this morning rehearsal. You don't belong here. Who do you think you are? You don't belong here. Let me tell you something. Then I didn't understand who I was. And so I was focused on the doing. But when God opens a door, if you don't know who you are and how he is positioning you, I was positioned through my association with Apostle John. I get that. Some doors are going to open. This is a side note. This ain't a message. Side note. Some doors are going, platforms are going to open for you because of who you are connected with. But that doesn't mean that you don't belong there. God, and you got to know who you're connected with. And when God says go, that's what you do. That's just a little side note. And I got to be mindful of time so I don't hold you hostage. But we're there. We had this rehearsal and the enemy's whispering to me. And I'm like, I can't breathe. I can't sing. I shouldn't be here. Yeah, everybody can sing better than me. And you can hear the people in the choir. I could hear in my spirit people in the choir saying, I don't know how she got to do that. I can sing better than that. So I go back to the hotel room after rehearsal. And I'm laying on the bed, and I'm talking to the Lord. And I'm telling him all the reasons why I should. And I'm about a minute from texting Apostle John and said, let Malika sing my part. And as soon as I, you know, God will let you kind of just get it out and rant and rave and just be a little crazy for a moment. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say, remember who you are. Remember who you are. And then he started to remind me in that moment who he had created me to be. And he said, and if you do everything from an awareness and a knowledge of who you are, it will just flow. Now, that didn't mean my flesh wasn't still nervous. Pastor Nina said she was watching on big screen, and I'm standing up, I'm singing, and my hand is shaking like this. And at a point, I go, but as soon as I got clear on who I was and the fact that God had positioned me here, I was able to just stand there and sing. You got to know who you are. Remember who you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, remember who you are. Doors are opening for you. Platforms are being established. God is taking you into arenas. He desires to take you there and position you in places in the kingdom for you to have kingdom impact and to walk out purpose and destiny. But you will shrink back from it if you don't know who you are. You will forfeit. Okay, Tracy, I know I'm kind of off script. I apologize. You will forfeit your position because you don't know. Not just have an intellect, I mean know who you were created to be. And so today God wants me to remind you of a few things. He gave me three things to remind you. So remind them, they are sons. You were created as son. Notice, I said son, not child of God. You are a son. And I'm going to point out the significance of the word son in a moment. You are heirs. You are image bearers. You are sons, heirs, image bearers. Sons. Turn to somebody and say, you were created as a son. Tell them you are an heir. And you were created to reflect his image. Tell somebody else, you got to remember who you are. You're a son. You're an heir. You bear the image of God himself. I want to repeat this statement so that you get it. We are not defined by what we do. We are not defined by what we do. But when you don't know who you are, you will seek significance and identity and purpose and destiny in what you do, in your gifts, in your talents. And that is not where it's to be found. Only God defines who you are. We are not defined by what we do. Who we are determines what we do. We are not defined by what we do. Your do is not your who. Who we are determines what we do. Doing flows from being. Doing flows from being. And when I began to switch my prayer from God, what do you want me to do, to God, who did you create me to be? Not only did things begin to line up and make sense, things got bigger because now I can see a broader scope of who I am. So it's not just this little small thing that I think I'm supposed to do. And for everyone in this room and everyone watching on our live stream, you were created for something so much bigger. But you gotta know who you are. You gotta know who you are. Remember who you are. Okay. So let's get into some word. I'm gonna talk about each of those three things. What did I say? You're created as what? You are. And you are. All right. We were created as sons. Romans 8:29 says, and Tracy, I'm reading from the New King James Version. I'll tell you that. For whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conform to the image of his son. And if your Bible's not, most of you don't have Bibles that you can write in, I'm sorry, can highlight on your phones. There was a time people would bring their Bibles and take notes and write in the margin. Now everybody's got an electronic device. But you can still take notes in your electronic device. Conform to the image of his son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. We were created as sons. We read in Hebrews 2:10, it was fitting for him, God, for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. that was his heart, his purpose from the beginning, to bring many sons to glory. I have this image, use your sanctified imagination. In eternity, here's the Father and the Son and this love just issuing forth through the Spirit back and forth. And God's saying, you know, this is good. And Jesus is saying, yeah, this is good. And God said, you know what? Let's have a whole bunch of sons come into the same love relationship that we're sharing. And then he began to create this world and put the pinnacle of his creation, his son Adam, right there. And told him to be fruitful and multiply, because I want a bunch of sons to enjoy this love that I am. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as, and this is the emphasis, he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons. Key phrase, adoption as sons. We're going to see that someplace else. If you're taking notes, key phrase, adoption as sons. And as a teacher, I'm going to give you a homework assignment, okay? Take notes. We'll go back, write down the scriptures, go back and read them in light of what you hear today. Do your own word studies. Ask Holy Spirit, who is your teacher, to illuminate some of this today. Because in this setting, I can't break it down like I would if we were in a classroom. But I want you to get this. God needs us to get this because he has so much that he is desiring to work through us. And he wants us to know who we are. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, it was pleasing to him to do this, to the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved. Somebody just needs to know today you are accepted in the beloved, not because of anything that you have done or not done. I'm going to say it again. Not because of what you've done or not done. He's speaking this before foundations of the world. Hear him speak to Adam just like he said to Jesus. You are my son in whom I'm well pleased. And he's saying that to you today. You are my son in whom I'm well pleased. Somebody needs to know that. It doesn't matter what you have done. The blood covers it. It was all nailed to the cross. You have been accepted in the beloved because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. God ain't mad at you. God's not mad at you. Adam was created as a son. Say, I'm a son. And that had been ordained before the foundation of the world was laid. Luke 3, verse 38. We begin, and Luke gives us the genealogy of Jesus. So it starts off, I don't know exactly what verse, and it starts, Jesus, this is the genealogy of Jesus. Jesus, the son of Joseph, and then Joseph, the son of, and the son of, and the son of, and the son of. And then when you get to verse 38, it says this. The son of Enoch, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Adam was created as a son. And he was given charge to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with the sons of God. We were created as sons. The word Greek, and this is, I'm going to break this down, the word son in the Greek. And notice, it's a very significant word. I don't know if I gave you that. It's huios. It's up there. Yeah. It's huios. Notice, in Romans 8:14, we read the words of Paul. It says, many are led by the Spirit. These are the sons of God. Notice, he doesn't say these are the children of God, because there is a distinction between being a child and being a son. There is a distinction. And this is the most interesting thing, and I'm going to kind of run through it pretty quickly. But when we understand the context in which the writers of the scripture are writing, it opens up so much more for us. So we think a son, and yeah, I'm a child, and that's a wonderful relationship that I have with God. And sonship does speak of a relationship. But in the Roman culture, sonship spoke more of position. It spoke of position. You could be a male child, and until you were of age, you weren't called a son. Think of Galatians 4. We're going to read that in a minute. So in the Roman culture, let me do this real quick. Let's turn to Romans 8. I need you to see this. I didn't give Tracy all these scriptures. I'm sorry, Tracy. I told you I wasn't going to do that. Romans 8. Let's start with verse 14. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption to whom we cry out, Abba, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Now let's turn to Galatians 4. Okay, back to the Roman culture. You would have male children. And when they became of age, usually in the Roman culture of about 14, whether it was your blood child or someone you were adopting that was not a part of your natural family, at about age 14, or the age that the father determined, that's what we read in Galatians, you would take them to the father would take them to the public forum and adopt. The word adoption actually means to place or to position, and position them as sons. I need you to hear this. The father, and it was legally, he would place or position them as sons. Up until that point, they didn't have really any rights. They didn't have access to their inheritance. They didn't have any standing. They couldn't make decisions. Let's read it. Galatians 4. For now that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave. So he is master of all, but is under guardianship and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, now he's making this comparison. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive, here's that phrase again, the adoption as sons. Adoption as sons. And because you are sons, not just children, because they said children weren't much better than slaves. But as you have been adopted, that's that legal term. I've been placed, I have been positioned as a son. I am also an heir. Understand that once I have been positioned as a son, I have certain rights and certain liberties and certain freedoms. I'm not a slave. I'm a son. So shake a slave mentality and take on the mentality of a son. Let me make sure you get this. Once we're positioned as sons, we can enjoy certain liberties and privileges that we don't have as children. You are a son. You have been positioned by the Spirit. You have certain rights that children don't have, certain privileges that minors don't have. You have a right to everything that your father has. You are a son. We just read this in verse 7 of chapter 4 of Galatians. If a son, then an heir. Children may someday become sons, but once you become a son, there is a link between sonship and heirship. There's a link between sonship and heirship. Remember, as I'm placed as a son, it has to do with position and it has to do with authority. Sons have an authority. Tell them I got some authority. I've been positioned by the Spirit as a son. I've been adopted as a son. I have some authority. And sons are heirs. Sons are heirs. The word in the Greek for heirs, this again is a legal term. One who obtains a portion, receives something as a possession, a beneficiary. It signifies one who not simply inherits something, but one who is taking possession. Not just I have some inheritance somewhere, but I'm taking possession of it because it's my right to do so. Note, your inheritance is not a future hope. Your inheritance is a present reality. But unless you understand what it means to really be an heir, you'll be waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I have a right to start taking possession. That's why when we look at the story of the prodigal son, the older brother, a lot of us are older brothers. He's all upset, killed a fatty calf, gave a big party. I've been here working, working, doing, 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 working. Everything I've been working, and you never gave me a party, and you never killed a fatty calf for me, and you never gave me jewelry and rings. And the father's like, why? All of this is yours. You're a son. You're an heir. You had access to this all the time. How many elder brothers? Nobody in this room, and nobody watching by Facebook, but y'all know some elder brothers. I'm working, 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 working day and night. And all of this is already mine. And I'm wondering why I don't get a party. Throw yourself a party. You got access to it. Kill your own fatty calf. You got access to it. The thing about being an heir, though, that was interesting to me is this. You could decline your heirship. You could say, I don't want the responsibility, because along with sonship and heirship comes a greater level of responsibility. We look in the Old Testament and we hear how the eldest son got the double portion. He got the double portion because he had a greater responsibility. He had to take care of everybody. With sonship, with heirship comes responsibility. And while we would never stand before God and say, I don't want to be an heir, your choices, your decisions, your actions indicate, I don't want that responsibility, I don't want to be near. And you will forfeit your inheritance. Case in point. Jesus won for us healing and accomplished so much more in the finished work. We have everything that he has as joint heirs, as co-heirs, as fellow heirs, as our inheritance. Healing is a part of that. So we can quote all day, by stripes I'm healed, by stripes I'm healed, by stripes I'm healed. But if you don't take responsibility for your body, if you don't learn how to eat right, if you don't start moving something sometime, if you don't get enough sleep and rest and take care of this, take responsibility for this, you can quote, by his stripes I'm healed all day long. You will still forfeit your healing. You got to step into the responsibility. That's part of the word we got for 2018. Greater levels of discipline, greater levels of responsibility. And as I said before, we would never tell God, I don't want to be an heir. But by the things that you do, you're telling him, I don't want the responsibility of being an heir. I'd rather give back my inheritance. Again, nobody in this room, but somebody out there in live stream land. Another example, prosperity is mine. All my needs are met. And yet, if you don't become fiscally responsible, you can quote the scripture all day long and be in debt till the day you leave this place. You have to take responsibility or you will forfeit your inheritance. We're sons, not slaves. We have been positioned by the Father, given authority. sign of a son is that he is an heir and has begun to take possession and enjoy his inheritance. You are a son. You have been positioned by the Father through the Spirit. If you do not understand the significance of being a son, of being an heir, you will inevitably relinquish your rightful position. You will forfeit your inheritance if you don't understand what it means to be a son and an heir. Turn to somebody and say, you're a son. You're an heir. You've been positioned. Don't let the enemy and the lies of the enemy move you out of place. You have an inheritance, and it's a present inheritance. Take possession of it. Tell them, take possession of it. Don't forfeit it. Step into the responsibility and the level of discipline that it takes to be a son and an heir and see the full manifestation of what God has promised you. Because we relinquish, because we don't understand who we are. Sometimes we say, well, God will just put somebody else in place. I'm telling you, there's a place that God has for you that only you can feel. And what happens when he jostles us out of position? Wisdom from the Lion King. Scar jostled Simba out of position, and he slid into position, and it resulted in devastation and death. When you are not in position, when I am not in position because I don't know who I am, the results can be devastating. There's a place, a position that God has for you that only you can fill as a son and as an heir. But you gotta know who you are. You gotta know who you are. I don't mean because I can quote the scripture to tell all my I am statements. I understand that. Think of Jesus. Jesus knew who he was. Always connected to the Father, but he knew who he was. And when people came at him and said, no, you're not that, he said, oh, yeah, I am. I am. I am. I am. And he's got all those I am statements. And he could stand up against the Pharisees, and he could stand and declare people healed, and he could stand and do all the mighty works that he did because he understood who he was. It wasn't just about what he did, because what he did flowed from who he was in the Father. We like to say, oh, we could do all of that because he was the Son of God. Now, when he was walking here, he was the Son of Man. But he knew who he was, and he wouldn't let him crown him before time, and he wouldn't let him kill him before time, because he understood who he was. They was going to stone him, and he said, oh, it ain't time yet, and he walked right through him. And if you know who you are, they can try to bring you down. Oh, it's not time yet. I've been positioned. I know why I'm here. I know who I am in the earth, and I ain't seen that yet. You can't. I walk right through them while they hold, picking up the rocks, like, mm-mm. Not now. I'm on assignment. And because I know who I am, I will fulfill that assignment. All right. We're sons. We're heirs. What was the third one that I gave you? Image bearers. Tracy, can you put up, hold that definition. Can you put up, let's do the clip. I'm going to show you a clip, a little clip from the prophetic movie, The Lion King. Anybody not seen The Lion King? Good. Anybody never, ever seen it. Okay. I can't believe saints. Oh, sure. You've never seen it? Come to my house and we'll have hold on for a minute, Tracy. Whoa, pause. Come to my house and give me some lights for a minute, just a minute. Give me the lights back. Lights, thank you. I got to set it up. Point number one that I need to make. Simba believed a lie and allowed it to move him out of position. He believed the lie. A lie in itself cannot move you out of position. It's what you believe about the lie that will cause you to move out of position. Everybody else thinks he's dead, but he's out of position. He's supposed to be king. He's hanging out with warthogs and eating bugs and Hakuna Matata and all over the place because he's out of position. He's forgotten who he is. And so the prophet Rafiki finds out that Simba's alive, and he's going to go get him and bring him back and put him in his rightful place. Yes, she said the prophet Rafiki. And so now, here we go. Roll it.
Sure do. You're Mufasa's boy.
Huh? Hey, wait. I got a little more sound.
You know my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope! Wrong again!
He's alive! And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki. He knows the way. Come on! Don't dawdle! Hurry up!
Whoa, wait, wait!
Come on! Come on!
Would you slow down? That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Want to point out a few things as we close, as we end out from this small little clip, to remind you that you must always remember who you are. And notice when Rafiki comes and says, I know who you are, you're Mufasa's boy. And then Simba says, oh, my father died. And he says, no, not true. You know, he says, of course, I've watched this clip a million times. He says, you knew my father? And he said, I know your father. And he says, he lives, come and see. And he leads him to the water and says, look. And Simba, because he has believed the lie, he has a distorted image. He's seeing things through a veil, the veil of lies, the veil of shame, the veil of guilt, the veil of woundedness. And he's seeing everything blurred and obscure, because when we look through a veil and we don't know who God is and who he's called us to be, we will see everything distorted. That veil will cause us to distort the image of God. And if that is distorted, everything we see in us is distorted. And we start believing what we see in us is what God sees. And God said, I never saw that. But because we're looking through a veil, we can't see clearly. So Simba looks in the water and he says, that's not my father. was looking. He said, that's just my reflection. And Prophet Rafiki says, look harder. And as he looks in the water, he begins to see Mufasa's image reflected. Pull up 2 Corinthians 3:13, 3:18. We're gonna wrap this up. You have been created as image bearers. We read in Genesis, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And that is a reflection. We were created to reflect him. The Bible tells us in Colossians and in Hebrews that Jesus was the image, the express image of the invisible God. When people looked at Jesus, he said, you're looking at me, you're seeing him because I bear his image. And people should be able to say that of us. Because you bear his image. But if you're looking through a veil and you have a distorted vision and you don't know who you are, that image will be obscured to everybody. But he said, look harder. And the harder he looked, he saw his father's face in his own reflection. And then Mufasa speaks and says, you've forgotten me. How interesting is that? He says, you've forgotten who you are, so therefore you've forgotten me. This verse in Deuteronomy, and Moses is about to leave the scene, and he tells the children of Israel who've been clowning of the rock that begot you, you are unmindful. You have forgotten the God who fathered you. And when we forget who he is, we don't know who we are. We are going to behave in ways that are not characteristic of how he created us to be. You are an image bearer. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces. Talk about that veil, those veils that obscure our vision. But now the veil has been removed because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And the enemy will make you think you still got to carry that veil. And you got to see everything through your woundedness, your frustration, your hurt, your past, the veil of perfectionism, the veil of false humility in many cases that keeps us from seeing clearly. But now we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, beholding as in a mirror. When I look in the mirror, whose image is in the mirror when you look in the mirror? Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Simba's looking in the water, and all of a sudden, Mufasa's image appears. And he recognizes that image I'm looking at. It's the image that's in me. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same. From glory to glory to glory to glory. So the more that I'm gazing into his face, the more I'm able to see that image reflected in me. The word here for image, and I'm going to wrap up real quickly. The word here for image is icon, from which we get our word icon. And it implies, it means to a representation. Jesus was the icon of the invisible God, a representation. All that God was, he represented in flesh. In bodily form. It assumes a prototype. Icon is not a copy. It assumes the original. All that it is, it gets from the original. So when you look at a reflection of the sun on water, the reflection of the sun on the water is not a copy. It's coming straight from the sun. And we are being transformed into that same image. And the longer that I stay in his presence and allow him to speak to me purpose and destiny and identity, the more I will see that image shine more brightly and more brightly and more brightly from glory to glory to glory. And that image emerges clearly. And it's like people will look at you and say, oh my goodness, is that what God looks like? You reflect. You look just like your dad. People who've never met my mama can see a picture and go, oh my goodness, you look just like your mother. People should be able to look at us and say, that's what God looks like. But it will not happen until we understand who we are and allow God to remove that veil that obscures us. Mufasa says to Simba, you are more than you have become. And I don't care where you are. You may be walking in a place where you got a pretty good sense of who you are. And I'm walking out purpose and destiny. And I know who I am. You know, singing this up. But even then, there is still more. You are still more than you have become at this moment in time. For some of you, just stopped because of life circumstances. God forgiven me. My past is standing in the way, and you're seeing everything through that veil. And God has said, remove the veil, because you are more than you have become. And until you know that, you are a son. You've been placed in position. You are an heir. You have an inheritance that you have a right to obtain and take possession of now. You are more than you have become. And then he says, it's time. He says to take your place in the circle of life. But what he really is saying, it's time to take your place in the kingdom. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to take your place in the kingdom. Remember who you are and simply be. Remember who you are. You are more than you have become. You are more than you have become. You are more than you have become. You are more. You just need to know that wherever you are, successful or feeling like I'm just broken and I can't, God is saying today you are more than you have become. He's leading you to the water and he's saying, look harder. So you have to ask, I want to ask some of you, what veil are you looking through that is obscuring your identity? Because if the enemy can take your identity, that's it. If he can distort it, if he can blur it, if he can steal it, he's not after your family, your health, your money. He's after your identity. What do you see when you look in the mirror? What are you seeing when you look in the water? Whose image is shining back at you? Look harder. Look harder. And again, I say, if you may be walking out purpose and destiny and have a sense of who you are, but you're still more. We are multifaceted beings with so many aspects of who we are. And sometimes we can get so caught up in this aspect. Mm-hmm. Last example, and then we're closing. Around all my life, I've been a part of music ministry, sang worship leader over choirs, over worship teams, sang. And my identity was connected to that thing. And somewhere around 2004, 2005, the Lord came to me and said, I need to stop. Get off the worship team. You need to stop. He didn't say why. He didn't say for how long. He just said, you need to stop. And I struggled with that for a minute, but I knew it was God. So I took him to Apostle John and said, I believe the Lord is telling me that I need to stop singing, get off the worship team for a season. And he said, I believe that's God. And it was hard because, as I said, my identity was wrapped up in that. But until I was able to lay that down for a season, I never would have known all the other aspects. It was during that time that he began to really strengthen the prophetic in me. It was during that time that he began to really show me other areas where I was, of who I was. And this was some years. It wasn't like, just get off the worship team for a couple of weeks and I'm going to show you some things and then you can get back up there and start singing again. This was for some years. But when he finally released me, I just didn't really care if I sang or not. But he didn't return me to that place as another soprano on the worship team. When I went back, I was pastor. And I didn't even see that in the making. But because I was willing and I knew that the singing was part of who I was and part of destiny, but it wasn't all of who I was. And sometimes we got to be willing to lay something down so that God can show us the more of who we are. You are more than you have become. Say, I'm more than I've become. It's time to take my place in the kingdom. Sons are positioned. Heirs have possession of their inheritance. Remember who you are and be. Can we just stand? Close your eyes and see that mirror in front of you. What veils are you looking from that God wants to remove today? What lies have you believed that have got you stuck? He wants to dismantle those lies today. Or what part of your identity are you holding onto so strongly that you're unable to see the more of who you are? I believe God is going to show you some things today, and he is going to release some things today. He's going to set you free. He's removing those veils so you can see clearly who he is and see clearly who you are. The Lord was talking to me about butterflies and caterpillars. I have a thing about butterflies. And he said, once the butterfly forms and sheds from that cocoon of death, because there's a dying of the caterpillar that takes place in order for that butterfly to emerge. He said, do you think the butterfly consistently reminds himself that he was a caterpillar? I mean, if he could remind himself. He ain't thinking about a caterpillar. Do you think once he sheds the cocoon that he keeps hanging around the cocoon? Butterflies, once they realize they can fly, do not resort to crawling anymore. So why should you? You are a butterfly. Fly. You are a lion. The last scene in that movie, Simba's gone back, he's confronted the lion, he's standing there, and he's looking over the kingdom, and then he hears Mufasa say, remember who you are. And this mighty roar emerges. The truth of who you are will release the roar. The truth of who you are will release the roar. And once he roared, everybody released the roar in everyone else, because he was back in his place as son, as heir, as king. And the truth of who he was as son, heir, and king released the roar in him, which released the roar in someone else. Who's waiting for you to roar so their roar can be released? Come on, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. And be sons, heirs, image bearers.